Let's pray together. Oh Lord, I thank you for this morning. And Lord, we your people ask that you show us who you are this morning through your word. Lord, draw us near to you, fill us with your spirit, and help us as we reflect upon the death of your son. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
There are a few times in my life I remember just being overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the Lord Jesus and his death. And I can remember walking out of the theater after seeing The Passion of the Christ. Some of you may have seen that movie. It's very brutal and graphic. So it's hard to watch, but I can remember walking out of that theater after having seen crucifixion be portrayed and not having words. Not having words to say. Just feeling the weight of the death of Jesus Christ. The suffering of Jesus Christ. And it was hard. I can remember a couple of years ago reading through the Bible, coming to the passages of the death of the Lord Jesus and hearing the words of the Lord Jesus and what he went through and being moved to speechlessness. And this week, as I was running, I was listening to my daily readings, and I just had to. I was broken in listening to the portrayal of the disciples and the apostles writing about Jesus being killed on a cross. And not only that, but him being mocked and him being tortured. And it moved me again. And the more that I read of the death of Jesus and this passion, we'll call it the passion of Jesus, meaning that time in which he suffered for these hours, it hurts to hear. It just hurts. And in our men's group on Wednesday night, we talked about intimacy with God, and that there's a relationship that goes on between you and God. And the Word of God speaks to us, and the Spirit of God, as we spoke of last week, awakens us to be able to know and communicate with the spiritual God. And there's something in you that where you know God and you have a relationship with him, that it's not just a formality, but he's a person. You know him. And he's your friend because you talk to him every day. And he bails you out.
Amen.
And he comforts you.
Amen.
And you know him like you know your spouse. Like you know your children, your parents. You know him. And to hear these things that one that you know and love and that you intimately have a relationship with, to hear what they did, it hurts. It hurts. And it saddens me. And I don't know how to explain it, church. I don't. But when you care deeply for someone and you see them unjustly suffering, there's something in you that knows it isn't right and that feels a great weight. And that's what I experienced this week. Reading Jesus on the cross and Jesus' betrayal and Jesus' mock trial and Jesus being spit upon and Jesus being hit and all of these things. And my goal this morning is not to to give you a brutal portrayal of crucifixion, because you can go find those. If you want that, you can go find that and listen to those sermons. They're out there. That's not my goal. My hope this morning for us as a church is to sit back and hear the Word of God tell us of how our Savior, our friend, was killed, and how He bore our iniquities to redeem us from a far, from a judgment that we cannot comprehend. And He did that for us. So as I read the scripture this morning, I have compiled together in somewhat of a chronological order as best as I could. Jesus being betrayed, Jesus being mocked, Jesus on a cross, and Jesus speaking words of life. And so if I can ask you to listen this morning. Listen and know that this is our Savior, our friend, and this is history of what truly happened for our redemption. Now at the feast, Pilate used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the resurrection, in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have them release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children. His blood be on us and our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him. And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And they put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him. And they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, whom was coming in from the country, and they laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' And they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things, when the wood is green, what will happen when it's dry?" When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments by them, casting lots. And when they sat down, they kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put this charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also, the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusts God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. One of the criminals who hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran, took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her home, took her to his own home. Then Jesus, calling with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. But the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, and they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all of the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. The death of my Savior. Here is a man who has spent his life healing, helping, who spent the last 3 years reaching out to those who are the helpless, those who have spent their life savings on medicine that couldn't help them. Here's a man who has invested countless hours into a group of 12 disciples and others, pointing them to the true God, pointing them to something greater than they could understand. Here's a man condemned because what he said didn't line up with what others believed. And so they took it upon themselves and said, "His blood be on us and our children. We will bear the guilt of crushing this man because he doesn't line up with what we think is right." So here Jesus faces a faux trial with faux justice, and he is condemned to death. Here's a man who had the courage to stand up for what is right and to take head on the established power of Judaism and to attack the lies that were condemning those around him. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. I read this week in the news where Chick-fil-A sent a van to bring food to a high school football game. The students staged a walkout because they felt unsafe that Chick-fil-A was on their campus. We've come to a place in our culture where we don't understand. And if you missed part of it, Chick-fil-A supports traditional marriage. That's the fear. That's why they didn't feel safe. Because Chick-fil-A donates money for husbands and wives to stay together. Amen. We've come to a place in our culture where what is right in God's eyes and what unsafe is has been so redefined that we look at a passage like this and go, what is safe? Jesus came doing exactly what is right and was condemned. A murderer was let free so that Jesus could be killed. What were they not willing to do to suppress the Son of God and righteousness? Nothing. They were willing to let justice go in order to get rid of this one whom they had hatred for. Today, bullying at school is when someone says they don't like your shirt. And you look back at Jesus and you go, bullying? Our Lord Jesus, what was done to him? What do we call this? If that's bullying, what do we call this? And I want to draw your attention to who Jesus was throughout all this. As he is too weak to carry his cross, as he has been beaten all night and mocked and all of these things that we've read through the night and into the day, cannot even carry his own lumber up the hill. What does he do to these women who are following him and crying out on his behalf? What does he do? He turns to them and says, beware. Beware. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Do you understand what Jesus is saying?
He's saying they're doing that to me, the Savior, when I'm here on earth. And what are they going to do when I'm not here on earth?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah. The wood is wet. I'm here. If this form of rejection has come while I'm here in the flesh, what is it going to be like when I'm gone? Brothers and sisters, the words that Jesus speaks in this passage speak volumes to us. And I hope that when you read this and you really contemplate There is Jesus in no clearer way that he could be, standing in front of them. And the full and utter hatred that they have for Jesus, the Son of God, to send him and to do these things that we've just read to him. Imagine what can be done in the dark shadows. And imagine the rejection of Jesus that is happening when he's not standing right in front. And he's saying, beware! Beware, judgment is coming. And it's at times like this that I look at my own self and say, what do I try to get away with? What are things that I try to sneak around and do? When the wood is dry, and those are the sins that Jesus died for, that he paid for on that cross. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, when we read this, may we not just see this as a historical event from something distant, but may we read this and say, when my wood is dry, Jesus died for me. When I rejected him, Jesus trod through the unsafe path. He trod down the unsafe road. He was bullied. He was beaten for my sin. And this is my Savior, the one that I talk to every day. Lord, for me, you have borne the iniquity for me. But it wasn't just the physical cross either. Did you notice? Did you notice? Have you ever been spit on? You ever been spit on? Have you ever been mocked for everything you've believed in publicly and in a place in which you could not defend yourself? You know what I'm talking about? Where what's Jesus going to say? Save yourself. Come on down now. Weakling. When he knows he's not going to do that. So every claim that's made on him while he's suffering seems to be legitimate in the eyes of all of those around him. It's not merely the physical. It's the emotional. The mental king of the Jews, taking who he rightfully is and making it a curse word. Not only that, but it's those whom he made effort. Those chief priests, he made effort. He withstood their lies. And he sought to proclaim the truth. And every ounce of his effort they took and twisted it. Once they had opportunity. And not only that, but even those dregs of society, The murderers, those who deserve the capital punishment, even they looked down upon Jesus. But may I remind you? I'm going to read this passage again. From Luke chapter 23. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Let me read you some commentary from John. "For this reason, the Father has loved me," says Jesus, "because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father." I see that smile, Sherry. Because as we see Jesus giving his life, we know that it was his will that was done. And all of the mocking, and all of the spitting, and all of the hitting, and all of the hanging, and all of the suffocating, and all of these things that happened, Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." So let me remind you, church, as it is a weight and it is a sadness that we read through these words together, and I hope you will never read these words the same. I hope you will never read them the same. And as you read them, you go back to Jesus saying, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." And we understand as Christians that there is victory in this so-called defeat. Amen. There is victory in the laying down of Jesus' life, because he did lay down his life for you. And not only did he lay down his life for you, but he lived his life for you, that you might become the righteousness of God. And so this is Christianity. This is not some form of self-help. This is not some form of making your life better. This is not an ancient Eastern religion. This is not New Age finding spirituality. This is Christianity. This is judicial justice. This is you being redeemed. You being purchased. This is the story of redemption, church. You are purchased by the work of another, and his name is Jesus. Amen. So with that said, if you have subscribed in your life to a false Christianity, an aberrant Christianity, another version of some sort of religion in order to make yourself feel better or think better or have a better circumstance in your life, I want to draw you to what the scripture is teaching us here. That there is payment for sin against a holy God that Jesus Christ paid. And that he bore our iniquities, as the scripture teaches us. And there is a transaction that must take place for your redemption. Because redemption is a transaction. It is taking what is wrong, paying the price, and making what is wrong right. And let me offer you this. Let me share this, I should say. Let me share this with you, that there is a response that must take place for that redemption to take place in your life, and that is a laying down of your own life. When Jesus said, if anyone come after me, he must, what? Deny himself. He must take up his cross and he must follow me. And so Christian, if you're here, this is the message that we share with others, is that it is a laying down of your own life in order to receive eternal life. It is a believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and his words and his message that we are willing to lay down our own life and follow him and know him and seek him and pursue him. And that redemptive purchase, that transaction that takes place, turns us from children of darkness into children of light. This is the story of redemption. So Christian, share this story. Share it. You may not feel safe sharing it, but Jesus didn't feel safe at the cross either. It is our job. It is our duty. If you are not a believer this morning, I urge you to look to the cross, to look to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he paid for your sin if you will believe in his name. Otherwise, you will pay for your sin. And the words of Jesus to those women, it will be better if you've never been born, and you'll be crying out for something to end the great torment that's coming your way. There is no sin that goes unpunished. None. Because God is just and right and true. There is no sin that goes unpunished. And either you will pay it, or Jesus Christ, your Lord, will pay it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning we are in awe of your Son. And we have not the words to say other than praise the Lord. You have redeemed us. Praise the Lord. And so, Father, that is our prayer this morning. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.